manufacturer condemning a supply of weapons to Israel. Thank you for joining us. Now, 35 days and counting since Israel launched its onslaught on the besieged Gaza Strip, schools, hospitals, and civilian areas remain the prime target of the regime's relentless attacks. In its latest strike, Israel targeted Al-Burak School in Gaza City, killing about 50 people. Israel also bombed several buildings of the largest Shifa Hospital complex, killing 14 people. Israeli snipers killed at least one person and injured 20 others in Al-Quds Hospital. The Palestine Red Crescent says the Israeli forces opened fire on the intensive care unit at the hospital. Israeli strikes also targeted displaced Palestinians on Saladin Street. The targeted civilians were moving from the north to the south upon Israel's evacuation warnings. In the ruined Jabalia refugee camp, Israel killed at least 10 Palestinians. Hamas has slammed Israeli attacks on civilians as a disgrace in the face of humanity. It said Palestinians will not be defeated by Israel's, quote, fascist actions. Meanwhile, the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency said at least 100 of its staff members have lost their lives in Israeli strikes since early October.
Devastated. Over 100 UNRWA colleagues confirmed killed in 1 month. Parents, teachers, nurses, doctors, support staff.
To allow aid into Gaza is... The refugee agency urged Israel to stop the carnage in Gaza. Israel has killed more than 11,000 Palestinians, mostly women and children, since early October. Lawyers representing a large group of Palestinian NGOs have filed a complaint with the International Criminal Court over what they see as genocide in Gaza. The Palestinian Red Crescent calls on the United Nations Security Council to ensure the delivery of unconditional humanitarian aid and fuel to the Gaza Strip. Let's take a listen.
Mr. President, we call on the Security Council and the international community at large. One, to ensure an effective and immediate ceasefire is enforced. To ensure fuel gets into Gaza immediately to prevent additional unnecessary deaths and sufferings. Increase humanitarian aid and ensure that unconditional humanitarian aid gets to the north of Gaza, where tens of thousands of people are still there and have no safe places to go to. Ensure respect for international humanitarian law and the protection of medical missions and civilians in all parts of Gaza. Ensure hospitals continue to function with the needed support of fuel, medicine, medical supplies, and to allow medical teams to enter Gaza to relieve the teams who have been working tirelessly 24/7 for the past 35 days.
Now, to talk more on the war in Gaza, we are joined by Mrs. Charlotte Cates, International Coordinator at Samidun Palestinian Prisoner Society Network. First of all, welcome, Charlotte. 270 attacks on healthcare facilities documented since October the 7th. 21 of 35 hospitals in the Gaza Strip are not functioning, which is around 60%. 87 ambulances have been damaged, and today the news that we have is Al-Burak School in Gaza City, they've killed about 50 people. We've got the Shifa Hospital complex killing 14 people. We've got the snipers killing one and 20 others injured in Al-Quds. How long is this going to continue for?
This team is attempting to destroy and attack the fundamental infrastructure of the Palestinian people. So healthcare facilities, universities, schools, refugee camps, residential buildings, these are the necessary infrastructure for a people to survive. This is part of what characterizes this kind of a genocidal assault on Gaza, is an attempt to wipe out the Palestinian people's fundamental infrastructure, their ability to take care of injuries, their ability to heal from the wounds created by these massive bombing assaults, their ability to educate each other. I mean, there's a reason why there's a reality where many doctors and health workers have been very clearly, deliberately targeted by the occupation regime. Now, at the same time, the resistance is fighting back against their tanks and is causing, you know, is really fighting back in a strong way on the military front. And the response of the occupation to that is to attack civilian infrastructure wherever possible. It's quite clear that the Zionist regime does not care for international law, does not care at all for the condemnations of the world. And so it's clear that only action is necessary in order to stop this genocidal campaign targeting the entire Palestinian people and all of their most essential civilian institutions, and at the forefront of those, health institutions.
Charlotte, talking about the ground invasion by Israeli forces, thousands of Gaza Strip residents have fled southwards over the last 2 days. However, they say that they have come under Israeli attack, the latest of which was at Salahuddin Street earlier today, which Israel promised would be a safe route. So survivors say many people have been injured and killed, and that no ambulances were able to reach Salahuddin Road. Now, my question would be, why tell people to move to the south and then kill them? And also, the second question, are we seeing signs of another Nakba, or they're trying to produce another Nakba, bearing in mind that many Palestinians are saying that we won't leave our homes?
Yes. Well, when we call what's happening in Gaza a genocide, this isn't just rhetoric to emphasize that it's very bad. This is a genocide because it's targeting the elimination of the Palestinian people. It is an attempt to eliminate the Palestinian people. It is an attempt to create mass terror among the population. It is an attempt to coerce the population into, you know, calling for surrender or opposing the resistance, things that the Palestinian people have absolutely across the board refused to do, despite these massive bombing campaigns of terror imposed upon the Palestinian people of Gaza. Like, this is a genocidal campaign. So yes, that is why they're carrying out an ethnic cleansing in northern Gaza and then bombing people as they're going south. The purpose is to create as much terror as possible and to kill as many civilians as possible through aerial bombing. That is the purpose of this campaign, and that is why we are seeing these effects. It's not accidental. It's not a side effect, and it's not collateral damage. The purpose of these assaults is the mass killing. And of course, many Palestinians are saying that they will not leave their homes and they will not leave their land, even though we should also keep in mind that 70% of the population of Gaza are refugees who have been denied their right to return home to their original homes and lands that have been occupied since 1948 by the Zionist regime. There's been an ongoing Nakba for 75 years, and right now, in these scenes of people being forced to move from their homes into to the south of Gaza, the Zionist regime very much also wants to share these images. There's a reason why it was, you know, Zionist officials that were sharing this video footage online, and that's because they're taking pride in the creation of a Nakba, and they are engaging in psychological warfare, targeting the Palestinian people and targeting people around the world in an attempt to create a sense of despair at the same time that the Palestinian resistance is striking major blows on the ground against the occupation's military assault. But these are war crimes. This is genocide being conducted in full view of the world, and this is being conducted as all of the Western imperialist powers are lining up to say that this is a legitimate act. And so it is very clear the inhumanity and the complete disregard for human rights and international law practiced by every single one of these powers that is fully complicit in the destruction of hospitals, of schools, of refugee camps, of the targeting of Palestinian infrastructure, and of the stealing of over 11,000 Palestinian lives taking place in Gaza right now.
Thank you, Charlotte. Charlotte Cates, international coordinator from Samidun Palestinian Prisoner Society Network. Thank you for being with us, Charlotte. Now, with the rest of the news, the UN Human Rights Chief has held a press conference on the situation in Gaza, in Jordan's capital, Amman. Walker Turk has called for immediate humanitarian assistance to Gaza. Let's take a listen.
Some hospitals, including Al-Quds and Al-Shifa hospitals, have also received specific evacuation orders in addition to the general evacuation orders to all of northern residents of Gaza. But such evacuation, as the World Health Organization has warned, is a death sentence in a context where the entire medical system is collapsing and hospitals in southern Gaza have no capacity to absorb more patients. Demands for civilians to relocate to an IDF-designated so-called safe zone are also very alarming. A so-called safe zone, when established unilaterally, can heighten risks to civilians and raises real questions as to whether security can be guaranteed in practice. At the moment, nowhere in Gaza is safe, as bombardments are being reported in all parts of the Strip. Stop the violence. Guarantee the safety of humanitarian workers. Provide safe access to ensure that assistance, humanitarian assistance, can be delivered to all those in need. Make sure that people have enough to eat, clean water to drink, medical care and shelter. The solution to this situation is the end of the occupation and full respect for the right to self-determination for Palestinians. As I have said time and again, for the violence to end, the occupation needs to end.
The senior representative of Hamas in Lebanon has called on Muslim and Arab states to take practical action against Israel as the regime continues killing Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. Osama Hamdan said it is, quote, unacceptable for Arab states to have relations with Israel. He called on those countries to cut ties with the regime and stop the normalization process. Hamdan also called on the international community to hold Israel to account over its crimes against the Palestinians. The Hamas representative reiterated the movement will not give up the fight against the occupation. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says the ongoing massacre of Palestinians in Gaza is a test for the conscience of mankind. Nasser Kanani said it was not conscientious to remain silent after seeing the killing of Palestinians in the besieged territory. He also slammed the U.S. support for Israel, saying it further encourages the regime to commit crimes. Kanani also questioned the will of the UN Security Council to end the genocide in Gaza. He said the council lacks the will to stop the regime's war machine, given the veto power of the United States, Britain, and France. Thousands of Palestinians have bid farewell to 14 people killed in Israel's recent raid into the occupied West Bank. Mourners gathered for the funeral procession in the Jenin refugee camp, waving Palestinian flags. On Thursday, Israeli troops backed by armored vehicles and bulldozers stormed the camp. The regime forces targeted an ambulance. Israel has stepped up its raids into Palestinian towns in the West Bank since the start of its latest war on the besieged Gaza Strip on the 7th of October. Over 180 Palestinians have been killed by the regime forces and settlers in the West Bank ever since. Hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters blocked the entrances to a factory of the UK's largest arms manufacturer, condemning a supply of arms to Israel.
We're standing here in front of BAE Systems in Britain because this company manufactures parts of F-35 warplanes, which the Israeli occupation forces are currently using to commit a genocide against the people of Gaza.
We're starting to build. We're seeing more and more groups autonomously decide that they want to do this kind of action. We're seeing people abroad decide they want to do this kind of action.
This is one of a series of many actions. It's a growing movement. We're just going to keep shutting down factories for as long as it takes. We need to make it difficult for them. We need to make it not profitable for them. We need to be the headache that they don't want to have so that they will... These people just want to make money. They don't care about these things. They just want to make money. And if we make this too difficult for them and we make it not profitable, they'll start doing something else instead.
The demonstrators held Palestinian flags and large banners reading "This factory arms genocide." The protesters also called on the British government to end arms sales to Israel and support for an immediate ceasefire. The BAE Systems site in Rochester, Kent, reportedly makes parts of Israel's most advanced fighter jet, the F-35. International outrage continues to grow against Israel's insanity of relentless bombardment of the besieged Gaza Strip. Hundreds of Palestinians in the cities of Ramallah and Al-Khalil in the occupied West Bank demonstrated in support of Gaza. In Iran's capital, Tehran, demonstrators waved Palestinian flags in solidarity with the oppressed people of Gaza. In Bahrain, pro-Palestinian protesters demanded the closure of Israel's embassy and the permanent expulsion of the regime's ambassador. A similar massive protest was also held in the Qatari capital, Doha. The Jordanian capital, Amman, also witnessed a public display of anger with the crimes of the Israel regime against Palestine. And with that, we come to the end of this bulletin. Thank you for being with us. Take care for now.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
The U.S. is an active partner in genocide in Gaza. The U.S. is not simply standing by, failing to prevent or punish genocide against Palestinians. It is actively enabling and supporting the gravest crime under international law, making the U.S. complicit. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote on October 25th, when confronted with the escalating Palestinian death toll and asked if the Zionist regime's prime minister Benjamin Netanyahu had ignored his request to minimize civilian casualties, President Joe Biden took the opportunity to casually cast doubt on Palestinian death statistics and declared, "I'm sure innocents have been killed, and it's the price of waging a war." Biden's comments suggest he is completely unconcerned by the scope and scale of Palestinian civilian harm as a result of the Zionist regime's military attacks in Gaza, or the fact that, day by day, he is actively becoming ever more complicit in an Israeli regime military campaign where the Zionist regime forces are killing Palestinian children with impunity, constituting the crime of genocide. During the past 24 days of hostilities, the Zionist regime forces have killed at least 3,542 Palestinian children in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza, with estimates of over 1,050 children reported missing and presumed to be trapped or dead under the rubble awaiting rescue or recovery. During this same time, the Zionist regime forces have killed 36 Palestinian children in the occupied West Bank. To put the intensity of the current Israeli regime bombardment into context, the Zionist regime forces in the past 24 days have killed more than two times the number of Palestinian children killed in Gaza in all previous Israeli military offensives combined from January 2006 to October 6, 2023. Prior to October 7th, the colleagues at Defense for Children International, Palestine DCIP, had documented and verified a total of 1,171 Palestinian children killed in Gaza. The higher watermark for the Zionist regime's war crimes against Palestinian children in Gaza was reset during the 50-day Israeli regime military offensive in July and August 2014, known as Operation Protective Edge. The investigation into Palestinian child fatalities found overwhelming and repeated evidence that the Zionist regime forces committed grave violations against children amounting to war crimes. DCIP independently verified the death of 547 Palestinian children among the killed in Gaza, 535 of them as a direct result of the Zionist regime's attacks. Nearly 68% of the children killed by the Zionist regime forces were 12 years old or younger. To put the scale of Palestinian children killed into a broader context, Israeli regime forces have killed more children in Gaza in the past 22 days than total number killed in armed conflict globally over the course of a whole year for the last 3 years. International humanitarian law prohibits indiscriminate and disproportionate attacks and requires all parties to an armed conflict to distinguish between military targets, civilians, and civilian objects. Deploying explosive weapons in densely populated civilian areas constitutes indiscriminate attacks, and carrying out direct attacks against civilians or civilian objects amounts to war crimes. Yet, the near-complete impunity delivered by the United States and enjoyed by the Zionist regime's officials and armed forces means that they essentially know no bounds. Each Israeli regime military offensive from Operation Cast Lead to now has been met with little to no international pressure to hold any actor accountable, simply perpetuating systematic impunity as the norm. The previous failure of the international community to hold the Zionist regime's officials accountable for war crimes and, maybe even more importantly, to sit back and not challenge the United States' unconditional support for the Zionist regime has led to where they are now. Children in occupied Gaza amount for nearly 50% of the total 2.3 million Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip. Nearly all of them now have grown up under 16 years of Israeli regime siege and closure and repeated Israeli regime military offensives that created an increasingly unlivable human-made humanitarian situation prior to October 7th. In the occupied West Bank, including East Al-Quds, Palestinian children experience an unceasingly oppressive and increasingly violent Israeli regime military occupation where the Zionist regime's leadership is more intent than ever on relying on apartheid policies and intentional lethal force to manage an unjust, oppressive, and entirely unsustainable military occupation. In addition to the current threat of indiscriminate Israeli regime airstrikes on residential buildings and civilian infrastructure, Palestinian children face further imminent threats due to mass internal displacement and Israeli regime government restrictions on food, water, fuel, and other humanitarian assistance being able to reach them and their families. The medical system in Gaza is collapsing as the Zionist regime's forces continue to escalate their bombardment of Gaza by air, land, and sea. Under international law, genocide constitutes the deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular nation or ethnic group with the aim of destroying that nation or group in whole or in part. Genocide can result from killing or by creating conditions of life that are so unbearable it brings about the group's destruction. What we are witnessing, and in the case of DCIP documenting in real time, is the Zionist regime forces actively committing the crime of genocide against Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip, as they carry out unlawful attacks with complete disregard to international law, in an attempt to depopulate Gaza. It is happening with the full and unconditional support of the United States government. The United States, as a signatory to the 1948 Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, has a duty to both prevent and punish the crime of genocide. Beyond that, Biden and other U.S. government officials should know that the Genocide Convention criminalizes not just the commission of genocide, but also attempts to commit genocide and, importantly, complicity in genocide. The U.S. regime is not simply standing by, failing to prevent or punish genocide against Palestinians. It is actively enabling and supporting the gravest crime under international law, making the United States complicit. Israeli regime warplanes are entirely U.S.-sourced, and the munitions killing Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are overwhelmingly American-made weapons. When confronted with the widespread and systematic Israeli regime military attacks against an overwhelmingly youthful civilization in Gaza and the routine unlawful killing of Palestinian children in the occupied West Bank, the Biden administration has responded with unconditional support to the fabricated regime of Israel. It has used its diplomatic support to paralyze the United Nations Security Council to ensure Israeli regime forces can continue the onslaught, and has pledged another $10.6 billion in U.S. taxpayer-funded military assistance and American-made weapons. This is on the top of the $3.8 billion in U.S. military assistance already provided annually to the Zionist regime. If Biden is not concerned about the current Palestinian death toll, then we have no illusions that obligations under the Genocide Convention will make him shift his policies. With no end in sight, there is a dire need for bold U.S. leadership to take immediate action to prioritize the preservation of human life, given the worsening hostilities and humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. How many Palestinian children do Israeli regime forces have to kill before someone steps up to lead in an incredibly urgent humanitarian and political moment? Meanwhile, Wafa News Agency wrote, the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child has expressed its outrage at the Zionist regime's grave human rights violations against children in the Gaza Strip, saying there are no winners in a war where thousands of children are killed. The committee strongly condemned in a press statement the escalation of attacks by Israel against civilian targets in the Gaza Strip, which had resulted in the death of more than 3,500 children since October 2023.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize movies with religious themes. One of those movies is The Ninth Gate, produced in 1999, directed by Roman Polanski. Actually, it features Johnny Depp, Emmanuel Signer, Lena Olin, Frank Langella, and so on and so forth. Well, we are going to criticize this movie with the help of my two guest speakers, as always, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, Brother Jawad. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is mine. And Sayyid Abdullah, thank you very much for accepting our invitation to come to the studio. Assalamu alaikum to you too.
Wa alaikum salam to you too, bro, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, let's take a listen to a short trailer of this movie or a part of that, and then we'll be back and we come back with the question revolving around this movie. So don't go away.
Are you a religious man, Mr. Corso?
I mean, do you believe in the supernatural?
The Nine Gates of the Kingdom of Shadows.
Reputed to conjure up the Prince of Darkness in person.
Only three copies survived.
I'm convinced only one is authentic. I want you to get it for me.
You mean the devil won't show up?
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers in the program, trying to help me criticize the movie The Ninth Gate, directed by Roman Polanski, produced in 1999. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, this movie is given the ranking or the rating of 6.7 out of 10 by IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes gives it 43% approval rate. And the box office was around $58.4 million. And the budget, I found that to be $38 million. The whole movie is revolving around Dean Corso, a rare book dealer, basically. played by Johnny Depp, is hired to find the last two copies of a text that holds the key to summoning the devil, and subsequently finds himself at the heart of paranormal activities and events. Well, as always, my first question, how do you like this movie?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, I'll be honest, if it wasn't for Johnny Depp, I would have watched it. There isn't much that I did not find the horror element of the movie itself. It was very explained from the beginning. You knew exactly what was going on. There was no supernatural elements to it. There was no action. There was no even drama, to say. It was just very slow moving. The events were just, you know, they told you exactly what was going to happen at the beginning of the movie anyway. He's going to go look for three books and search them and compare them, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Right. So there was nothing special about it. It was very dull, very basic. Like I said, the only interesting element in the entire movie is the actor himself, Johnny Depp. And I think that if it wasn't for him, no one would watch that movie, mm-hmm. to be quite honest. It wouldn't be, at least wouldn't make that much money as it did, even though it was made in a few different countries.
But the ranking wasn't really bad. I mean, 6.7 isn't
a bad figure. Yeah, based on the acting rather than anything else. Like I said, because the acting of Johnny Depp was good, the lady that was with him, she was okay. The actors, like in terms of acting, their acting was okay.
And
was good.
The director is very famous.
The director is famous, yeah, obviously. So that, you know, contributes to the thing. But in terms of events, in terms of the entire movie itself, it was... There's nothing, like, I didn't find any... It's like, you know, sometimes when you watch a horror movie, right, you're expecting things to happen, things to pop up, like, events to, you know... I mean, like, even you would expect the devil to come out or his demons to... There was nothing. There was absolutely no events. You know what I mean? It was this chase after a book.
Yeah.
Rather than the actual thing, which was supposed to be about the devil himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, so... I didn't get much. I will give it 1 out of 10.
I see. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie Ninth Gate, produced in 1999, directed by Roman Polanski, and then we'll come back with his question and critique and criticize it more. So stay with us.
Collector Dean Corso has just been given a mysterious assignment.
What are you looking for, Mr. Corso?
I'm not quite sure.
It is a window into the past.
Have you studied the engravings?
Some books are dangerous.
A gateway into another world.
LCF. Who's LCF?
Lucifer himself.
And a power beyond all understanding.
I'm starting to see things. Uninvited visitors, unfamiliar faces. I don't trust anyone.
Coming?
What's with the we?
They are two of us on there.
But he's about to open up the greatest evil of all.
What have you got for me?
More than I bargained.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program. And along with me, my guest speakers in the studio, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, this movie, just like the previous one that we criticized, you know, it also refers to a very important theme which sometimes, people are subject to in the world, especially in this modern, mundane world, and that is suicide. Well, what does a divine religion in general, or Islam in particular, say about suicide?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Suicide in any, it's not a religious thing. It was a thing that a human being would realize that it's not something that you would do. Even a person who's not religious gets shocked at someone committing suicide.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure you may know this, that in some countries, first world countries, it is forbidden to report a suicide during the news. In Canada, for example, it is forbidden if a suicide occurs, it cannot be reported on the news. Why? So that you don't promote it amongst other people. Mm-hmm. No, other people should know. Why are you doing that? Because you yourself know that it is something bad. It's not a religious government. It's not a religious country.
But the statistics come out.
The statistics come out, but like, for example, if something happens, it is not, they don't allow the reporting of that event immediately.
Yes.
The family will know, obviously, but how, for example, that person died and stuff will not be known. Obviously, it's not like you know, with the world of social media and, yeah, you know, presumptions and so on and so forth, it comes out quite quickly. But the news, and officially not allowed to report it, mm, in the news channels, on newspapers, on websites that are official and so on and so forth.
When it comes to scientists, mm-hmm, and the doctors and philosophers, mm-hmm, they always account for it one way or another. Mm-hmm. They try to, like, pathologically speaking, like, mm-hmm, you know, say that, for example, it comes from this root or the other one. Mm-hmm. For example, we know this sociologist, philosopher, the French one, Émile Durkheim. You know, oh, he's one of the best sources in this. You know, mm-hmm, he attributes suicide to three reasons, basically, all right? But what about the religion? I mean, no, religion, what does religion,
example,
say about that?
Because religion sees life as precious. Life is precious. It's a gift.
So all religions are against suicide?
All religions are against suicide. There's no religion, whether it be Abrahamic or non-Abrahamic, unless it's a religion that is satanic, which this movie portrays.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different issue altogether.
Then. Exactly.
That's not religion. That becomes a cult.
Yeah, just, exactly.
Depending on your definition of what, mm-hmm, religion is, but then more than becomes a cult. It goes outside of the bounds,
yes,
of a definition of a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a cult. So, yes, you have many cults, mm-hmm, that promote suicide because of certain deviant... There's another thing, actually. This is something fascinating I actually came across recently. And it deals with fiqh,
mm-hmm,
Islamic jurisprudence. We have certain things in Islamic jurisprudence that are tahir, that are intrinsically pure. One of the most important things is water.
Mm.
And water is what in the Quran? The place where life began. We created everything from water.
Yeah.
It's pure. All right? And on the other side, one of these cults, what do they use the most? What is the thing that they promote the most? Blood. And what is one of the most impure things in Islamic thing?
Yes.
Is blood.
Yeah.
All right? So... this is not just then, this, if you, like I mentioned someone else, Islamic fiqh is not just something that's put together. It is something that is intrinsically inclined and in order with the world of creation itself.
Mm-hmm.
Water is pure intrinsically. It is something pure about it.
Exactly.
Blood is not just said it's impure because it's, no. It of itself has properties within it that make it evil. It can be, all these cults are used, what? Blood sacrifices.
That's a very nice point.
Why?
Thank you.
Because there's something intrinsically about this particular thing that makes it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the devil will use these particular things. Again, we'll come over this whole movie about this.
Yeah.
Hopefully later on. But maybe in our segment, uses these particular things that are not clean.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs, pigs, whatever.
Yeah.
To kind of push forward his plans and agenda against God, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie The Ninth Gate, produced in 1999, directed by Roman Polanski. Then we'll come back with this criticism. Don't go away.
It may take a month or so to place them, so in the meantime, I advise you to be patient.
A month?
Yes, a month or two. It depends on how much of a hurry you're in. You see, more hurry, less money.
Of course.
Well, that's my advice anyway. I'm sure you wouldn't want to rush things, but please feel free to consult another expert. And if you have any questions, you know where to reach me. Incidentally, this four-volume edition of Don Quixote is quite nice, but not particularly valuable. Now, I could take it off your hands right away.
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. With my guest speakers, Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. The movie we are criticizing is The Ninth Gate, produced in 1999, directed by Roman Polanski. And I'm going to ask you this question, Sayyid Abdullah, that the book dealer is trying to deceive the sellers to make a fortune, nearly the beginning of the movie. Why are some, if not most, traders become so unfair and unscrupulous? Why not honesty? Why the ripoff? I mean, is it the nature of man or the nature of business? Which one is it?
It's a bit of both. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha, right? Mm. It gave the good and the bad, the yin and the yang. It's up to you to choose which way to go. So sometimes when life itself and the glitter of life gets to you,
mm-hmm,
then you become more inclined to go to the dark side of the nafs, of the self.
Mm-hmm.
And once you go that way, it becomes really hard to see things correctly and accurately and go by God's law. So you try to do whatever you can to get more of this darkness into your life. So that's from the human aspect itself. From the trade itself, the trade also, it's considered to be a sense of smartness, or, you know, your wiseness, or whatever you want to call it, that the more you get, the better, you know. And it's also, it's a human nature that I want to make the most profit possible if I can. But sometimes I do understand that this, doing it the right way, I'm not going to get as much.
Mm.
So I'm forced to go the wrong way into trying to achieve it. So sometimes it, and also because of the human nature, I think it just, it kind of imprinted on the trade itself. So, for example, there are certain trades where you know you're going to get ripped off, whether you like it or not. For example, if you're going to real estate.
Real estate, yeah.
Right? You know you're going to get ripped
off. Everybody knows it, but
exactly.
Like they are like doomed to go there.
Yeah, so
because they need a house.
Yeah, exactly. So some trades, it became the norm that you get ripped off. Or for example, if you go to lawyers, you know that lawyers are going to rip you off, and so on and so forth. So it's very rare you find.
Now, of course, we are not talking about all lawyers and all real estate agents.
We're talking about now.
Yeah.
So it's, and then this is what happens. So it brushes off into the trade itself and becomes a trade of just, you know, bad business, I guess, in terms of religion. So it's both, it's a bit of both, but obviously it begins with the humans themselves making the wrong choice by trying to rip each other's off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to, criticize one of those movies with religious themes, namely The Ninth Gate, produced in 1999, directed by Roman Polanski. Of course, we haven't come to the end of its criticism, so we promise to continue the criticism of this movie in the upcoming episode. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Men who have been burned alive for just a glimpse of what you are about to witness.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
Declining U.S. consumer confidence has cast shadows over its economy. According to reports, the U.S. consumer confidence is the lowest it's been in 4 months. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to China Daily, consumer sentiment is often regarded as the barometer of the U.S. economy, given that nearly 70% of it relies on consumer spending. However, recent data reveals a gradual decline in consumer confidence over the past few months, posing a potential threat to the holiday season. Data released by the Conference Board recently shows that its Consumer Confidence Index fell to 103 in September from 108.7, marking the most significant monthly drop since December 2020. According to Reuters, U.S. consumer confidence dropped to a four-month low in September, weighed down by persistent worries about higher prices and rising fears of a recession. Though households remain generally upbeat about the labor market, the second straight monthly decline in confidence reported by the Conference Board recently also reflected higher interest rates and concerns about the political environment. The nation faces a potentially disruptive shutdown of the federal government amid political wrangling. Confidence fell across all age groups and was most pronounced among consumers with annual incomes of $50,000 or more. Christopher Ropke, chief economist at FWD Bands in New York, said inflation is slowing, but prices are still higher than they were before the pandemic, and this is taking a toll on consumer confidence. The Conference Board said its Consumer Confidence Index dropped to 103 this month, the lowest reading since May, from an upwardly revised 108.7 in August. Economists polled by Reuters had forecast the index easing to 105.5 from the previously reported 106.1. Consumers' perceptions of the likelihood of a recession over the next year ticked back up. A sharp decrease in the expectations measure accounted for the decline in confidence, which economists partially attributed to the looming government shutdown, with Congress so far failing to pass any spending bills to fund federal agency programs in the fiscal year starting on October 1st. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers will be furloughed, and a wide range of services from economic data releases to nutrition benefits suspended beginning. Dana Peterson, chief economist at the Conference Board in Washington, said consumers also expressed concerns about the political situation and higher interest rates. The cutoff date for the preliminary survey was September 18th. Millions of Americans will also start repaying their student loans in October, and most have run down their pandemic savings. The survey showed consumers increasingly concerned about their family finances. The Federal Reserve last week left its benchmark overnight interest rate unchanged at the 5.25% to 5.50% range. The U.S. Central Bank, however, stiffened its hawkish stance, projecting another rate hike by year-end and monetary policy staying significantly tighter through 2024 than previously expected. The Fed has hiked the policy rate by 525 basis points since March 2022. A separate from the Commerce Department showed new home sales plunged 8.7% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 675,000 units in August after rising to a 17-month high in July. Economists had forecast new home sales, which account for a small share of U.S. home sales, falling to a rate of 700,000 units. New home sales are counted as the signing of a contract, making them a leading indicator of the housing market. They, however, can be volatile on a month-to-month basis. Sales increased 5.8% on a year-on-year basis in August. Though new home sales remain supported by a dearth of previously owned homes on the market, the resurgence in mortgage rates is reducing affordability for prospective home buyers. The rate on the 30-year fixed mortgage vaulted above 7% in August and climbed to an average of 7.19%, the highest since July 2021, according to data from the mortgage finance agency Freddie Mac. Mortgage rates are rising in tandem with U.S. Treasury yields, which have surged on worries that soaring oil prices could hamper the Fed's fight against inflation. Nancy Vanden Heuten, lead U.S. economist at Oxford Economics in New York, said, "While we expect higher rates to hurt new home sales, we think they will be more resilient than existing home sales as builders seem willing to scale up their use of incentives to motivate sales." A third report from the Federal Housing Finance Agency showed annual home price growth quickened for a second straight month in July, largely reflecting the tight supply in the market for previously owned homes. House prices jumped 4.6% on a year-on-year basis in July. After rising 3.2% in June, prices shot up 0.8% month-on-month after advancing 0.4% in June. The resurgence in house prices was seen feeding through to higher inflation, likely giving the Fed cover to maintain its hawkish posture for some time. Bill Adams, chief economist at Commercial Bank in Dallas, said the Fed will see the re-acceleration of house prices as a reason to keep interest rates higher for longer. Renting households are seeing some relief in new lease prices, but since two-thirds of Americans are homeowners, the Fed cannot afford to look past house prices' influence on the cost of living.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The death toll from Israel's onslaught on the Gaza Strip surpasses 11,000, mainly women and children, as the regime continues targeting hospitals and schools. Palestinian officials and international bodies have warned that the health system in the besieged Gaza Strip has reached a point of no return.